For the first question, how long have you lived in this area, specifically the Southeast community, and what would you describe your primary connection to the community?
I was born and raised in the Southeast community and in 1949, mm-hmm. so that would be 72 years now.
Wow.
However, I was transferred to Atlanta for 25 years, mm-hmm. and I still maintained all my as many activities and affiliations as I could mm-hmm. back here because my family was here, returning several times a year, and remained active in my church even. Mm-hmm. So.
What church do you go to?
Belmont Baptist, 2 blocks down the street.
Lovely.
That's Belmont Baptist.
Ah, there we go. But yeah. So what streets or buildings did you like grow up on?
I grew up in the Waverly section of Southeast, mm-hmm. Kenwood Boulevard. Mm-hmm.
And where are you now?
Right now I'm in Botetourt County.
Yes. I know someone from Botetourt, okay. Actually.
Good people. Actually, when I retired, we built a house in Botetourt County. Mm-hmm. However, by that time, my mother had passed away. Mm-hmm. So we kept her house, the house that I grew up in, mm-hmm. and we still are there virtually every day. Mm-hmm. We also use it for a guest house or whatever. So mm-hmm. anyway, I'm in Southeast about as much as I'm in my house. Mm-hmm.
So what would you say like kept you in this area? You mentioned your family, right?
Yeah, like I said, my family was from Southeast, of course, my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. As soon as my dad...
Were they both born here?
My mother was born actually in Roanoke County. It was Roanoke mm-hmm. County at the time. My dad was born 6 blocks down the street.
Wow.
And... mm-hmm. My grandparents raised their kids 1 block up the street on Marie Avenue, mm-hmm. 8 kids. And so when my dad came back from World War II, mm-hmm. housing was very short. There were a significant shortage for houses or apartments even. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather had built the house that I was born in, and he sold that to my dad. So that's, my parents chose to remain in the neighborhood in mm-hmm. Southeast. Again, my grandparents lived here. My mom and dad, my mother's sister and her husband were about a half a mile away. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty close knit.
What else do you feel like kept you here? Like, what about the community would you say you really enjoyed? Yeah,
it was back when I was growing up, and in those days, it was a community. It was mm-hmm. It was very close knit, and everybody knew everybody. It was very stable, a tremendous amount of stability. Mm-hmm. It was years and years and years before a house was ever sold on our block. Mm-hmm. People just, they stayed there, they raised their kids there.
Was it just like a family home that would be there for generations?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, so you could look at every street and like say which family was there.
That's the so-and-so house, the Smith house or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like on the particular block that I grew up in, there weren't many kids of my age because most of the people were older than my parents, mm-hmm. and they'd been living there for many years and raised their kids there. So a lot of the people on my street were like my grandparents' age, mm-hmm. and they stayed there until they passed away.
Are there any stories that come to mind that you would say like make you be like, yeah, that's the community spirit that we had, or that's the close-knit connection that everybody had? It's hard to think of one example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
all the little things, right. I would guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many little items here and there, and mm-hmm. little niceties, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. Everybody looked after everyone else. Mm-hmm. Anyone had a need, and there was someone there ready to jump in.
Wow.
And like on a snowy day, for example, people would be out cleaning their walks. And neighbors would be conversing, and like party time. Someone say, oh, I made a pot of chili. Let me bring you some chili over.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I made some stew. I'll share some stew with you.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you know, you had a little party like going.
Yeah.
And people knew if someone was in need, if someone were sick or had a tragedy in their family or something. I mean, people didn't bother. They weren't running in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was a need, I mean, everybody was there to, you know, try to do what they could to fulfill that need.
Yeah. Everyone was kind of busy and they did their own stuff. But then when someone needed something.
Oh, you know, they're right there, you know.
Yeah. Wow. That's really beautiful.
Again, I think a large part of that is the fact that it was not a transient neighborhood. There was such stability.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone pretty much knew everyone's story. They knew about their families and
knew where everyone was coming from.
Yeah.
So, do you remember any point in your life when like your family helped supply something to another community family that was in need, or someone helped you guys when you needed it?
There was a gentleman down the street, third door down, and they had a daughter 2 years younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were very few kids on our block. It's a long block and few kids. And she and I grew up like brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And what time I wasn't at her house, she was at her house. Mm-hmm. And wherever she went, I went. Wherever I went, she went. And in later years, her father developed, her mother passed on sort of early, and she was living out of town. She had moved out of town, and her father developed cancer, and he had a large part of his jaw and his mouth removed, and basically he couldn't eat.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And my mother would prepare his meals for him. She would puree everything. He would go to the store and buy something that sounded good to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would buy it, like, maybe he wanted steak and gravy.
Yeah. I was thinking a real nice steak would be what I'd be buying.
So he would buy enough for himself and for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And she would cook that and make gravy and run it through a food processor until it was like almost like a baby food.
Yeah.
And he would have to stand over the sink, and he couldn't get his lips around a glass or anything. He's gonna
just pour it in. Just waterfall it.
Yeah. But she basically kept him alive for several years.
Wow.
And my dad would, she'd get it prepared. My dad would take it down to the cooler to him, regardless of the weather, rain, snow, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
For years.
Yeah, and they'd be out someplace and say, well, it's getting late, I need to get home and get Fred's dinner to him.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of dedication there.
Yeah. That's a really incredible thing that your mom did.
Yeah, no thanks for it. Well, certainly it's appreciative. And
yeah.
Thanked her profusely, and I knew that was his life support.
Mm-hmm.
But,
No thanks needed, but given.
Yeah, exactly.
But
she just did it.
Yeah, she did it because it was her neighbor and cared about him.
And I like to do that with particularly some of the elderly people in our church. Try to share some things with them. They can't. A lot of them used to have gardens when their husbands were alive, and they miss the fresh produce. And some of them are really not able to get out and do much shopping for it, like on the market or something. So you really appreciate when you bring something to them. The Southeast you see is not the Southeast I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. It's a different place altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess if anything, it's the, as we touched on here, just the sense of community, the closeness, the caring one for another, and the stability. The stability was a big thing. As I mentioned earlier, hardly ever a house was sold.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had been there for years, and they stayed there for years.
just kind of like the intergenerational community.
Yeah, that's one thing I see about the community, and like when I moved back here, and I became more involved with the community, it just seems to be very transient. You know, people are here for a while, they move on to somewhere else, and I don't think anyone intends to put down roots and stay here forever, like it was in my generation, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems to be the flux, you know, constantly in the flux. People here for a few months, maybe a year, and they're gone. So you can't develop a community when you have that kind of turnover.
Yeah. People keep coming in and out. Yeah. It's, you just can't do it. Yeah.
And then people have simply changed. People are less trusting of one another. They don't develop that closeness or trust.
People lock their doors.
Yeah. And again, I guess part of that is the fact that it is, they're not here long enough to know them. Your neighbor isn't here long enough to get to know them and to develop the trust.
Yeah.
As soon as you do, then they move off and someone else moves in. So I think that's actually worked to the detriment of the community, the Southeast community as a whole.
Yeah. It might be profitable, but it's not good for the community.
People come in and buy these old houses and refurbish them and renew them. And if they could ever get that same movement started on this side of town, it would be good. It's like, you know, where do you start, or how do you get that momentum going?
Maybe it's with stuff like this, just people talking about it. Who knows? Maybe.
Gotta start somewhere.